Good morning, everybody. I hope and pray you're having a great Sunday morning and you've had a great week. I'm looking forward to this week. I pray that everybody's staying well or getting well. We have a beautiful, beautiful morning this morning. If you look outside, see the sky, it is awesome. It's a beautiful morning to be here. And I appreciate you tuning in and listening and watching this service. Again, I know this is not the exact way we want to do things, but I appreciate you being flexible. And here in a couple weeks, we'll be back in our sanctuary, if the Lord's willing. And again, I'm just honored and blessed to be here. This morning, we're going to continue our series on the I Am statements of Jesus. The I Am statements of Jesus. This will be our third Sunday in this series, and this morning we're going to concentrate on I Am the Door. I am the door. I am the door. We're going to look at John 10, verses 1 through 10 here in just a minute. But I want to start out with a little story. Back several years ago, I went back to school at a pretty advanced age for a college student. But I went back actually on campus to school to finish a degree that I had started several years before. And my first few weeks of school, man, it was going great. I really loved being back in a classroom and learning. And I put together a little degree trying to finish what I'd started so long ago. And there was this one particular class that I had to have to finish my degree. Actually, there was a couple classes in it that I'd never had before. Again, by this time I'm in my mid-40s, and believe it or not, I've never had a foreign language. And I have to go and have a foreign language, and I'm getting through it. It's pretty easy, and all of a sudden it starts getting hard. I mean, it starts really getting difficult. Now I'm going to tell you the whole story because we'll be here all day because I went through some pain and suffering. But what I decided to do after I thought and prayed, I went to someone within a whole different area of what my degree plan was. Try to avoid taking a foreign language. So I go and I meet with these people and hey, there's a degree out there I'm interested in. And it does not require, it's one of the few degrees at the University of Tennessee does not require this foreign language. I'm like, cool, I'm going to take it. But then I look and it requires something else that would be very difficult for me. That's also like a foreign language, it's calculus. I thought, what am I going to do? So this person I met with directed me to the director of advisement at the College of Arts and Science. She sent me over to a different building, and she says, now, it's going to be down this little hallway. It's going to be down this little hallway. Look for the door. You may miss the door because there's no sign on it. And just when you get there, the door is right there. Go in that door and ask for Brian Russell. I said, okay, I can do that. So I go over to the building, and I went down this little hallway. It didn't even look like there should be an office there. And I passed the door right up. I passed the door, and I'm like, huh. So I go back around, and I look. I said, there's a door here, but it don't look like it would be in someone's office. That's going to be able to help me in my situation. I opened the door. There was a counter there. There was a young man standing behind that counter. Very young man. And I looked at him and I said, hey, I'm here to meet with Brian Russell. He said, okay, be with you just a sec. I'm like, have I found the right door? I mean, I really didn't know. Am I at the right place? Then all of a sudden, the young man comes over and says, come on back. I thought he was going to take me to see Brian Russell. He was Brian Russell. I found the door and the person I was supposed to, and he set me down. He set me down and he started talking to me about my path, about what it was going to take for me to finish what I had started so long ago. And I told him my situation with this one class I was struggling with, and he asked me, he said, and then my final in this class was the next day, and then I had to take some more of the same subject, and I'm like, I can't take any more of this. And he looks at me and says, what is your grade in that class? And I told him, and it was a pretty good grade. I said, but it's as far as I can go. And he gave me some great advice. was not the advice I was looking for. He's not actually who I pictured. The door was not the way I pictured it. He's not who I pictured. And all of a sudden he gives me this advice, and I still remember it today. He looked me right in the eye and he said, "Stacy, quit crying and go study." I said, "That's not the advice I want." He said, "Quit crying and go study. Here's your path." And he laid my path out all the way to the end. And I followed that plan until I finally, a few months later, finished that degree. But had I never gone through that door, had I never met him, I don't know that I would have. I think I would have just went around lost. I may have still been in the hallway looking for the door. I don't know. But without his advice, without his plan, I don't know that I would ever have finished. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus being the door. And again, for me, Brian Russell, that day, that door that I went through gave me some relief. I was wandering around. I didn't know what I was going to do. It gave me some relief. The door that I'm going to talk about today in Jesus Christ is the door that we're all looking for. If you have not found it, you're looking for it. Whether you know you're searching for it or not, that's what you're looking for. And this morning, I'm going to read a familiar passage for me and for anybody who's heard me preach. You've heard me preach some of these verses before. And it's John 10, it's verses 1 through 10. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is the thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." And this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for that word of Scripture, Lord. Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. I just pray that you bless this service, you bless this time together, and that all we do honors and glorifies you. Lord, I also pray for our country. I pray for our nation, Lord. I pray for everyone who's been affected by the coronavirus and other illnesses around, Lord. I just pray that you place your healing hands upon them, Lord. You give them peace and comfort. Lord, we know you're still in control. And again, I just pray that your words flow through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, that story is quite interesting. But it kind of reminds me of how sometimes we are in life. When we're looking for answers, even though we've been told about Jesus, we may even know Jesus, but we're still looking for that door. You see, in this scripture, Jesus boldly tells us who he is. He says, "I am the door. I am the door of the sheep." And matter of fact, it says, hey, they listened to me. They didn't listen to other people. They know my voice. They know my voice and they listen to me. They follow me. The sound of someone's voice is very, very distinctive. If you know someone, you recognize the sound of their voice. We may actually be walking down the road and I may see somebody that looks like somebody else. Matter of fact, my dad has been... He died 14 years ago, almost 15 years ago now. And sometimes I'll see people that remind me of my dad. I'm like, ah, it's like my dad, but it don't catch me. But the thing about it is, if I heard his voice, I'd know exactly who it was and who it wasn't. I can mistake someone I know by sight, but when I hear that voice, I know exactly who it is. So today, I want us to be listening for Jesus' voice. Again, some things look attractive. There's more doors that may look more attractive than the door to follow Jesus. But this morning, I want to tell you the importance of going through that door and listening to his voice. You see, because Jesus simply states in John 14 that he's the only way to the Father. The only way to the Father is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question I have for you this morning, have you ever been through that door? Have you found that door? And that's the question I want you to ponder as we go through this lesson. Have you been through the door? You see, the door that I'm talking about is an invitation. The door is an invitation. You see, Jesus gives us plenty of opportunities to come to him. The truth of it is, any person can come to him. He died for our sins, but not just my sins. He died for us collectively. He died for every human being who has ever walked the earth. So all people have access to this salvation. But on the other hand, he loves me so much, he loves you so much, that he would have done the same thing. He would have made the same sacrifice if it had just been you. Or if it had just been me. That's how much he loves us. So the truth of it is, he died for all people, but he died just for you. He died just for you. That's how much he loves us. Matter of fact, in John 3:16, probably the most quoted scripture in the world, tells us that the Father sent his only Son. He sent his only Son to die for us and then to be resurrected so that we can be saved. You see, we're lost in sin. We're lost in sin. We're looking for things that the only way we can find them is going through the door. It's by finding the door and going through the door. You see, because he has a plan. He has a plan for our life, and he has a plan for everyone's life. And once you enter that door, he reveals part of that plan to you. If you listen, he'll give you some direction. If you hear that voice. But there's other voices around. Sometimes we get distracted by other voices. But if we truly know our Lord and Savior, we know his voice. We hear his voice maybe through a sermon, maybe through a lesson, maybe through reading scripture. But when we hear that voice, we have no doubt he is, because we know him as our Lord and Savior. He has the plan. And the other thing is, there's a big supply of his salvation. We live in a world that has finite answers, and it's hard to answer infinite questions when we have finite minds. But I'm here to tell you, there's enough salvation to go around. There's enough salvation to go around. You see, there's an unlimited supply of this salvation because of what Jesus did for us. What Jesus did for us. And once we accept that salvation, once we go through that door, we're liberated. We are liberated. That does not mean we have no more problems, but we're liberated from some things. The first thing we're liberated from is the penalty of sin. The first thing we're liberated for is the penalty of sin, because Jesus took that penalty to the grave. He took that penalty to the grave, and now we're liberated from sin. That doesn't mean we won't sin again, because we do fall short. We do fall short, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, because of his ultimate sacrifice, we can be forgiven. When we sin, when we repent, when we ask for forgiveness, when we turn away from that sin, we start walking back towards Jesus, the penalty of that sin is forgotten because of what he did for us. Nothing that we've done on our own, but what he did for us. Another thing that we're liberated from is the power of sin. And when you're in the middle of sin, it has power over you. When you're in the middle of sin, and it can be any sin that you're wrapped up in, it has power over you. You are a slave to that sin. You're a slave to whatever you're caught up in that's not worthy of a Christian to be doing. That power of that sin can choke us. It can smother us. Because we're a slave to that sin. But praise the Lord through what Jesus has done for us. And when we go through the door that He's provided for us, the door that He is for us, Paul tells us in Ephesians that we're no longer slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to Satan, but we're living now for Christ. We're made free of sin because of what Jesus has done. Why? By us accepting Him, by us walking through the door of salvation, the power of sin does not crush us anymore. Because Jesus has given us that relief. He's given us the power to fight sin. Because when we have a relationship with Christ, our sole purpose is to be more like Him, and He didn't sin. He lived a perfect life. And when our power is manifested through Him, we can do all things. It's hard to battle sin on your own. Temptations are real out there. Again, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And some of the sin that we're caught up in looks attractive. It may give some temporary satisfaction. But the only way to live that abundant life that Jesus has promised us is to live by His power, not under the power of our sin. To live by His power, through His power. His power working through us is the way we can become more like Him every day. Third thing that we're liberated from when we accept the door that is Jesus Christ is the presence of sin. The presence of sin. And again, although we are going to sin, we're going to fall short. We can repent. And that presence of sin leaves us when Jesus is there. They can't operate in the same place. Sin and Christ are opposites. They cannot function together. So when we're living for Christ, that presence of sin we don't see no more. We only see Him. We only see that perfect example that He gives us. The door that I'm talking about is also a promise. It's a promise. It's a promise of perfect pasture. You see, we're no longer searching for what we need. That pasture gives us rest. We don't have to search anymore. We don't have to find the answers anymore. We can rest. We can be assured that Jesus has taken care of our salvation. And now we can rest in knowing that we just need to become more like Him every day. He's taken care of our salvation. He has taken care of our salvation. We should be resting on that promise. We should be resting on that promise. But again, it's not a total rest because we still need to be leading other people to Christ. We need to be showing them where this pasture is, where the door is to find this perfect rest. Also, it's refreshment. Once we get into the pasture, this perfect pasture, we're provided for. We don't have to wonder where our stuff comes from anymore because everything good comes from Him. The other promise that we get is rejoicing. When we're in this pasture, when we're living in this, through this perfect promise of Christ, we find the fullness of that joy. This is the abundant life that Jesus is talking about in John 10:10. That abundance is there. He's provided it for us. We just have to accept it. I've told you in other sermons that sometimes we confuse what the abundant life is truly about. The abundant life, we accept Christ as our Savior. We walk through that door of salvation, and we accept Him as our Savior. Our eternity has been paid for by His sacrifice. But you see, eternity, we don't have to wait until we die to start experiencing eternity. Eternity starts now. The abundant life that Christ is talking about is what we should be living now. But we get confused sometimes in what the abundant life is. We think it may be material things, that we're going to be blessed financially, we're going to be blessed otherwise, and we may be. But what he's talking about are the things that Paul writes about in Galatians 5. Those fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Those are the things that we should be living in. When we're living the abundant life, that's what people should be seeing in us. That's what we should be rejoicing about. Luke 10:20 tells us that his pastor is fullness of joy. We should be living that joy today. We have reasons to rejoice. We're living in that pastor, that perfect pastor that's been provided for us. We have the sustainer. Psalms 23:2 tells us who sustains us, where that satisfaction comes from. And there's plenty of it. There's room for everybody. There's room for everybody, and there's plenty of this abundant life. There's plenty of salvation to go around. But again, in order to see it, in order to find it, we have to find the door. And if you're looking for that door in the wrong places, if it's not looking like it, you thought it may look, listen for His voice. Listen for His voice. Again, you can hear His voice by reading this. You can hear His voice by participating in and being active in a Bible study. That's where you hear His voice. You hear His voice by praying and listening. Where are you today? Have you found the door? Have you found the door? Have you walked through the door? Have you accepted the sacrifice that Jesus has made for all of us? That's the big question today. Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you living every day to be more like Him? Can people see Christ living in you? Those are the questions that I can't answer for you. I can pray with you. I can give you some guidance. But the only way, the only person that can tell you truly if you've accepted this grace is you. It's you. Have you walked through the door of salvation? Have you looked on the face of Jesus? Have you heard His voice? If you haven't, I told you earlier, there's plenty left. It's not limited. There's an unlimited supply of this grace for all people. Because I'm here to tell you, He died for you. If you're wandering around in this life looking for that satisfaction, and you've got an infinite or an eternal problem, you're trying to fill that eternal problem with some temporary satisfaction, it's going to be frustrating. If you're searching for that door, the only way to find that eternal salvation is to walk through it. To accept that Jesus is the door to our salvation, the door to our eternity, the door to our perfect peace and joy. If you haven't accepted Him as your Savior, I pray that you do so today. If you want to be liberated from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, and the presence of sin, and live forever in perfect peace, the door is there. It's open. Again, I pray that you accept Him as your Savior today. Or if you've been wandering around, you've been through the door, you know that Jesus is the door, but you've been distracted by other things. You're hearing other voices instead of just the voice of Christ. And you're following those other voices. I pray that you start listening and doing what He asks you to do. You see, Jesus is the door to the Father. He is the door to our salvation, our perfect peace, our joy. And I pray if you're not living in that peace and joy this morning, that you come to Him. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, again, just thank You so much for being here. Lord, thank you for sending your only son to die a terrible death on the cross because of sin, Lord, because of what man has done, Lord. Thank you for giving the opportunity for us to be reconciled with you through what Jesus has done for us. Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone hears my voice this morning, Lord, that they make that decision to accept that door of salvation, to accept Christ as their Savior, Lord, and start living this perfect peace and joy that only can be provided through you. Lord, there's a lot of different noises. There's a lot of different distractions out there that we can listen to. We know that those things are just trying to rob us. Trying to rob us from what you have intended for us. You have a plan for our lives, Lord. I just pray we follow that plan. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, I just pray that you have an awesome week and you stay well. I pray that, again, that the folks listening at home, or maybe some folks will listen to this sermon later, receive the message. And again, I just thank you, and I'm honored to be here and to be your pastor. Let me offer a benediction. Father, go with us now. Go with us now, Lord, as we go into the world to tell people about the door that you provided for us. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.